Hey, Mandarin family. Thanks for stopping by and seeing what God has been up to with us. We can't believe that we are in the fall swing of things here. But with this season comes many exciting things our church family is celebrating and going through. First of all, we invite you and anyone else listening to join us in a 24 days of prayer. We are using scripture and the book Gentle and Lowly as our guide for these days of prayer, discussion, and seeing what God wants to do in our lives. All of the information you need is found at our website, mandarinbaptist.org. Another important thing we want you to be aware of is our Wednesday nights have started back. We know life can be busy and schedules get full, but we would absolutely love for you, your family, and friends to join us starting at 6:30. We have something for every age, from our kids ministry, student ministry, all the way up to our adults and seniors. You should definitely come check it out. As we dive into scripture and the sermon this week, we are following along in our 24 days of prayer with a series called Gentle and Lowly. In the four gospel accounts, there is only one place that Jesus tells about his own heart. We read and learn of his birth, ministry, travels, disciples, his miracles, and his habits. Yet there is one passage of scripture where Jesus shares specifically about his heart, about who he is. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is an important truth for his followers. For who Jesus is who we are to become. And he reveals his heart as gentle, humble, lowly. According to Jesus, this will lighten our life and clarify our path. He is gentle and lowly.
Who he is. If you happen to be a guest, or if you're not a guest, but you've been a part of us and are passing through, we're on a day 8 right now of a 24-day journey in pursuit of Jesus, in pursuit of knowing who he is, and it's just rich. I've looked so forward to gathering this morning with a group of people who have shared a common pursuit of knowing Jesus, a common pursuit of knowing his heart and what that would bring into this room as we come as seekers of the heart of Christ. And so welcome to worship this morning. I would say this, and this is coming up on the screen, so I won't say this. I'll quote Dane Ortlund on this. Here's what we should be rolling in kind of with movement of our heart. It's impossible for the affectionate heart of Christ to be over-celebrated, right? You can't make too much of it, and you cannot exaggerate the heart of Jesus. So welcome to worship right now. It is impossible for us to over-celebrate the affectionate heart of Jesus. We cannot make too much of this, and we cannot exaggerate who he is. And so welcome to a God like that, a God who is revealing himself over and over to us. If you'll recall last weekend, just kind of started talking about David and a really big guy named Goliath. And I think as we walk through this journey, what I would like to begin with today is just reminding us that your capacity to make way in what you're currently dealing with or walking through, you can't match the need. You don't have that within you. And in fact, if we're kind of in the room asking these questions, you know, God, why is this going on? Or how do I work out or sort out what's happening in my current life or situation? What do you need me to do? That's not the starting point for this journey in life. As David walked up, he was surrounded by a group of people much like us, the people chosen by God for the sake of God, for the glory of God, so that they would fulfill the purposes of God. And they're kind of sitting in the midst of ditches, and there's this giant for days coming out, and proclaiming and defaming the name of God. He's just proclaiming and defaming it. Not anything great. Just like, where is God's people? And rather than asking, what do I do about this? How do I do something about this? And what should I do about this? David arrived at this conclusion as opposed to all of those hiding out. I know the Lord. He is the Lord of armies. He is the who of this whole journey. And if I could just draw us right back there as the body of Christ, we're walking through a lot of different things in a room like this, and a group of our church family online with us, and a group that gathered early this morning. We brought a whole lot of baggage to this. And the question that should resonate in the room is, who is the redeemer of this room? Whose name remains standing in this room? Who is it that we celebrate? What are we about? And this will shape the trajectory of our path. It will direct our steps. It will guide us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So I would love, there's going to be a lot of scripture that will be read this morning. If you want to anchor in Colossians 3 and then truly anchor in Colossians 2, you'll be right with me. But I'm just letting you know, I hope that the majority of what you hear today is just the word of God. For the people of God, for the glory of God. And so our identity and our purpose, our significance in what we're about, it's in Jesus, okay? And that's why we're kind of coming around this heart cry of we want to know Jesus. So we're in deep waters when we're pursuing the heart of Christ. So if you're kind of reading along with us, you already are aware of this. And if you're not reading along with us, you're catching up with this like rapidly today and saying, let's kind of recognize that we're in deep waters here. And in Colossians 3:4, Paul wrote this, to pursue the heart of God, to know who Jesus is, to be passionate for this. It says, it reads in this way, when Christ, who is your life, here's I'll read the rest of it in a moment, but he didn't say, when you invite Jesus to be a part of your life. He didn't say, when you invite him into this section of your life. Paul starts off writing in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, when he appears, then you appear with him in the midst of all of his glory and all of his goodness and all of his kindness. When Christ, who is our life, it's one thing, and I really want to celebrate this, so don't hear me wrong. We should talk about this. But it's one thing to talk about this fact and truth and reality that for the majority of us in this room, Jesus has rescued us from death, peril, and sin, and he has seated us in the heavens with him. That he has raised us just as he was resurrected from the dead. He has raised us from the dead. It's one thing for us to be able to talk about this truth of and beauty and wonder of God. You have fully forgiven me. And so when you were at the cross and you were providing forgiveness, my sins were stretched out 2,000 years later, and you were proclaiming over me that it is finished and complete as I embrace the work of the cross. Are you kidding me? And so I am fully forgiven. I'm known. You are known. All of us in this room that are children of the King of Glory. It's one thing to know all of these things about him and to celebrate what he has done for us, right? But it's a whole other deep water to stop and pause and say, but what I really want to know, Lord, is who you are. I want to know the deepest recesses of your soul. I want to know what you are about. It is both, thank you, God, for what you have done, but I worship you, Lord, for who you are. And I want to know who you are. I want to have that shape me. I kind of realized a few years back, I ran with a team, a mud run. I don't even recommend this. I don't even know why I did this, but it was like a 10K mud room out on the west side of Jacksonville, out kind of where the horse territory is, you know. There's this, so they set up this mud run, and for some reason, like, people pay money to go out and run through mud, ditches of mud, lots of mud, sliding down mud, climbing over, you know, really high, I can't even think of the name, rope, throw your body over so you land in mud. I don't get it. But I did it. I don't even get why I did it right now talking about it. So we run this mud run, and then afterwards they do you a little favor. They set up like these outdoor showers so you can, in hypothetical manner, not completely trash your car, which you're going to anyway. And so when you sign up for your next mud run, just understand, sign up the guy who cleans your car for after it. And so I'm out and I'm just kind of in the shower. This is, again, nothing weird here. Outdoor shower, soaking mud off, having dialogues with people. I'm shooting the breeze with this guy. It's two old dudes who just finished the mud run. We just went over like a 20-foot tower, landed in the mud. I got off, ran through the finish line, walked up under the shower. We're like knuckling, going, dude, you finished. Me too. How was your time? We're comparing. How'd your team do? We're talking about that. We're having so much a good time. And I started telling about my kids, talking about just, life and what's going on. And they were like, hey, good to shower with you, Knuckles. Have a great day, but I don't know what you're doing the rest of the day. Found out he's a coach. It's pretty cool. And so I'm just loving life. This guy's coming up on the screen right now. I had no idea who I'm just chatting with. I'm just chatting and having a good time. And I turn around and go back to my friends, and I'm like, I just met this dude named Mark. He's pretty cool. And he's a good guy. And they're like, whoa. They put their hands on my shoulders. They're like, do you know who you were just talking to? Yeah, he's the coach over at Providence or something like that. I don't know. He's a coach over. He does something. And he's got a couple kids. He's pretty amazing. Hey, Siegel. That was Mark Brunell. I'm like, really? Like the court lefty from Washington, that Husky guy, the greatest quarterback in the history of the Jags. I had no clue, no idea, no, it's just a mystery to me. And so I was like, well, I don't think I would have done anything different, I don't know what I would have done different, but I sure do know that there was a lot of people around me going, this was a pretty big deal. You showered with Mark Brunell. Could you tweet that out today? That would be awesome. Our pastor, deep words in church. Scandal. I write this sentence to myself. Maybe our eyes are opening at times to who we're actually talking to as we go through this journey. Like, I wonder as we're like looking at one another, and no longer am I talking about Mark Brunell. Like, we've walked into this room going, did you discover the mystery of God in this way? Can you believe who he is? What he's done? What's happening with us? Like, we're grabbing each other's shoulders going, this part of Jesus, I've heard it 1,000 times, but it just came alive to me. He's so full, and I love him so much. I want to know that heart. That's my first thought for you. I want to know that heart. Paul was just this guy who was encumbered with the longing to know the Lord. I would love to read Philippians, the 3rd chapter, if you would allow me, and just share with you scriptural vitality. But everything that was gained to me, I've considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, who's my Lord. Because of him, I've suffered the loss of all things, and here's what I count them. I like this in Scripture. They're dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness from God based on faith. So here's my goal. It is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to him in the midst of his death, assuming that I will, by the grace of Jesus Christ, reach the resurrection from the dead. I mean, he's coming and just saying, this is clarity. And here's what clarity for us as we pursue the heart of God. Just preceding this, he says, this longing to know God exceeds my heritage. My parents are in the room. I'm so thankful for the heritage that they have planted in their parents. But it's bigger than that. I've got a really great lineage, Paul said, but I have discovered in this lineage this hunger to know the Lord, and it's vast within me. It's more than achievement, and for those who have achieved, I have achieved even more. This is what Paul says as he then writes the words that I just read over us. So this is bigger than achievement. This is bigger than academic prowess. So for those of you who have been through college for a long time, Paul's going, I have studied more than anyone around me, and it is dung compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. I want to know his heart. Man, I want to know him. I want to pursue him with every bit of who I am. And Colossians 3:3 says this of us as we're pursuing his heart, is just that our lives are hidden with God in Christ Jesus. That we are saying, Lord, you who are our life, we find life in you, and we are hidden in you. This is so good. So as we pursue the heart of Jesus, we should flex a little bit right now under this external, this beautiful and eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison that makes up the greatness of God in Christ Jesus. There was a moment for you to look at others and go, yeah, we're all up. This is magnitude. We should be reveling in this, loving this, seeking this. Paul says the poets write this about us. We live and move and have our being in the middle of the knowledge of Christ. This is what moves us, and this is what spiritual things are happening among spiritual people. We're talking and sharing, and we're amazed by this. I just would, maybe you'll call to me and I'll call to you. Let's just go with scripture for a while. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So magnify the Lord with me as we make our way through this next week, and let us exalt his name together. We cannot exaggerate him, guys. We can't over-celebrate him. I don't know what you brought to the table this morning, but he could not be over-celebrated. If you failed to celebrate, let's start over. We cannot exaggerate the goodness of our God and the kindness of our God, regardless of circumstance. We join with Mary when she is in the midst of things and says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We could join with all. Let's just do that and roll with Philippians, where it says that the God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the glory of his name, and it will be done before the Father who is in heaven. So for heaven's sake, welcome to worship this morning as we have joined together with the mother of Christ. We've joined together with the magnitude of Christ, and we've joined together with the heavenlies in Christ for the glory of Christ. We want to know him, and we want to know his heart, and we want him to come alive. Amen. His is a heart of compassion. That's where we've been all week. The Lord's is a heart of compassion. And I pray as I begin to move downhill, believe it or not, downhill is a slow downhill right now, but I'm still heading downhill. I love this compassion that God is teaching us about in this reading. And I love that the fidelity of what we are reading together is forged not in some good thoughts of an author, but in the true and beautiful words of Scripture. We're just wrestling with the heart of God, and Lord, yours is a compassionate heart. This is Dane Ortlund's statement. His love, the love of God in Christ, proves his heart. The love of God in Christ, just, this is up on the screen right now, Ben, if you can. It just proves his heart. Who he is what he does. This is what God is about. So, for instance, there's an image coming up on the screen right now. If you were reading, I think it was chapter 3. I didn't memorize the chapters, but they listed like 5 stories, and there could be 100 more of Jesus just encountering us with a compassionate heart. The particular story that stood out for me were just the friends of a paralytic. It's just, you know, can't even wait to ask him for what they want. Jesus, this is what Jesus did, as he leaned in and he saw them tearing away. Jesus was looking with such an abandoned, compassionate heart at the faces of 4 friends. And I love this statement in Scripture. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, He was moved in compassion toward them. His heart was just this moving heart. His is a heart, by the way, of compassion. And he said to the paralytic, and I love these words, take heart. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. In a few moments, because there was skepticism, you can forgive sin. Oh, by the way, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk. This is such a beautiful reality of the compassionate heart of the Lord. And perhaps, so I really want this to be all about the Lord, but and particularly these 5 weeks, I don't believe our heart moves outward until our heart is captured for Jesus. So I'm really hesitant to kind of take the outward step. And that, if you know me, that's really hard for me. But I do think just looking outward, Jesus was moved because of the joy of their heart. He was moved because the joy of your heart is not an emotional realm. It's a practical application of the truth and compassion of the Lord in your own life. And so the Lord just looked at them and said, your friends, their faith has moved my compassion. Their lives proves their heart. And I wonder, like Jesus just looked at them, and I think about these friends and I think about our lives as we are saying to the Lord, you've captured me with the gospel. I mean, I wonder if he looked at them and knew these relationships were not forged in a short period of time. This relationship was forged over the long haul, and therefore these guys were willingly stepping into the hearts of the vulnerable. Ongoing. And I wonder if that's true of us. Do we share in the heart of compassion for Jesus? Perhaps it was the friendships. Perhaps it was the trek they would take. It was the relentless innovation. Their lives proved their heart, and this moved Jesus' heart. So I saw this weekend. It is the kickoff to the NFL season Thursday night. Some of you are fans. Some of you are not. So I will not relentlessly pursue this all this season, but I did see this really cool moment. So this week, the Jaguars of Jacksonville, which is our home, they shared their captains. And I've never seen it done this way. And it's just really cool. If you didn't get to see it, you should check it out. I'll definitely show you a part of it in a minute. So what they did is instead of Urban Meyer, who is our new coach, for those of you uninformed, stepping up and saying, here's our 7 captains and here's where we go. It was really creatively done. So their family members, their kids, their mom, they put this video up and they would talk about them for a little bit. And then they would say, we're so grateful for you. And then congratulations on being a captain. They would go up and get the shirt with the C on it. Pretty awesome. All the first 6 were remarkable. And then they got to the center. His name is Brandon Linder. And there was this incredible moment that I was like, oh, wow, this is a picture of what we're teaching. This is a picture of the paralytic. This is beautiful. And I finished this and thought, Garrett, can you rip this off? And we need to watch this. And so this is Brandon Linder receiving his captain's shirt. And you should hear the story right now. Can you turn it up, please, Matt? Can I just throw this out? He was a captain way before he was named captain. His life proves his heart. And I'm going to be rooting for number 65 more today than I ever have, because I just love that story and that picture. And that's the call of our lives if we share the compassionate heart of Jesus, which is to say, Lord, we're stepping in where the vulnerable are. We're stepping in where the hurting are. We're stepping in with compassion because, oh, Lord, you have shown me so much. You've provided so much compassion for me, and I'm so deeply grateful. So when we take this gospel account, this is words of Dane Ortlund I'd love to share with you. What stands out most prolifically about Jesus and his heart is this, that he moves toward and touches and heals and embraces and forgives and advances among the least of these. This is Jesus, and you and I are the least. And we're utterly thankful that he has chosen this. The story I would like to conclude with is probably my favorite story in Scripture because I feel like I most relate to it. So forgive me if I bring this up often. It's found in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, and it's the restoration of Peter. And it's a picture of the heart of the Lord. And I think there's some things that maybe we could take away. Jesus' life proves his heart even to Peter. Could you leave that image up if you don't mind? Thank you for putting it. Just leave it there. I often have seen this story as Peter out fishing, doing what he was not called by God to do, jumping into the water, swimming with everything he had, and sitting down with Jesus beside this quiet moment, beside the fire, and they're eating fish. And yet the gospel writers all write of the story. And I think this is more of a picture of the body of Christ. I think this restoration of Peter's heart happened among the faith community. It happened as John was sitting and ultimately would chronicle this encounter with the compassionate Savior Jesus and Peter himself as they listened to this encounter and they heard about how the Lord approached them and they really learned how do we approach others. So Jesus didn't lead with Peter. If you don't know what led up to this story, Peter denied Jesus three times, failed to be present when he was supposed to have been present, failed to advance the kingdom when he should have been advancing the kingdom, was often hiding, and his third moment of denial was cursing the child and cursing the name of Christ. And so it's a pretty bad moment, a pretty low moment for Peter. And Jesus doesn't lead with his denial. Jesus doesn't lead with his epic failure. He didn't lead, to quote one of the passages we read this week, or one of the thoughts we read, he did not lead with a pointed finger, but he led with an open arms. He led and said, Peter, and I love what he said, come and let's sit down to me. Almost like, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest right now. I'm going to give you peace right now. And so what, I would ask this question, because Peter sat down for breakfast with Jesus. What, as you've walked through this week, and more importantly, your journey with Christ, what do you anticipate from him when you have breakfast with him? And what does he learn, want you to learn from his gentle and compassionate heart toward you? Would you be more open to sitting down and sorting out and seeking restoration through him? After the meal, Jesus had kind words and he just listened in and he talked with them. And then he asked him a question that I think deserves an entire sermon. So, but I'm not focused on this, but he asked him three different times in three unique ways, do you love me? And Peter, he was kind of wrestling with Peter's heart to say, it's not going to be the what or the why or the how. Peter, you and I have to get together on the who. We really got to nail this down, and so I really want you to be about that. And upon affirmation of, Lord, I love you, here's what Jesus said to him, and this has unfathomable implications for Peter and for you and for me. Because he looks at Peter and he says, so feed my sheep. So what he basically says to one who is downtrodden and who's walked in a very different manner than intended for a period of time, I don't know what your period of time is, I don't know if it's minutes, days, weeks, hours, years, but he's walked in a manner in direct opposite of the Lord, and he's looking at him and saying, I'm not done with you. That's what feed my sheep means. I am not completed with you. I'm inviting you back into the game. I'm inviting you back into the mission. I'm inviting and reconciling your heart back to my own heart. I'm inviting you to love me. And in doing so, Peter, you are no longer known as Peter, the one that denies, Peter, the one that is broken, Peter, the failure. You are known as a Peter, the man who is loved by God. You are the confessional reality of the wonder of who I am among brothers and sisters in Christ. Will you confess me again? Welcome to the heart of our Savior, who sits down with each one of us and shares breakfast and says, do you love me? And if you do, will you feed my sheep? Will you come back in? I wrote these words and I hope that they speak life to you. Know my heart. Grace removed Peter's guilt, compassion met him and lifted him out, and kindness restored his identity. This heart of Christ redefined Peter in so many ways, including as a friend of God. So he does with us as well. Peter failed, but not a failure. So come, church, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Move out of the shadows and beneath the tender and gentle and heart of our Savior. Rejoice and be glad, and our lives our lies will prove his heart among us. I would love to close with scripture. It's found in the second chapter of Colossians, the first few verses. And I believe that they're profound. Colossians 2, verse 1, I want you to know how greatly I'm struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, for all who've not yet seen me in person. Listen, I want their hearts to be encouraged and to be joined together, knitted together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery. Christ, Jesus, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen.
Thanks again for taking time to dive into scripture with us as we search the heart of Jesus, see who he really is, and discover who he is calling us to become. If you don't have a copy of the book Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund, please connect with us online through mandarinbaptist.org. You could also find and follow us at facebook.com/mandarinbaptistchurch. We would be happy to help get a copy in your hands. We truly believe God is going to use this season of prayer, scripture reading, and discussions to reveal more of himself to us and certainly change lives in the process. We hope you will continue to join us, to pray with us, and to be amazed with us as we discover the heart of Christ towards sinners and sufferers just like me, you, and all of us. We love you, church, and we hope to see you soon.